Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday. Let me check and make sure because it's a holiday in so many words. Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. We usually get one or two shows like this a year. The day after a quarterback joins the fold for Ohio State, given the idea that there is a pipeline or a highway directly to the Heisman ceremony over the last few years. This is a impactful day. So we've got Bill Kerlick here. We've got Mark Porter here. And we're going to get into it. First things first, if you are not subscribed to our YouTube page, you did not get delivered this morning Mark's detailed video breakdown of Tavian St. Clair. If you are a subscriber, that stuff gets delivered to your inbox. You can't get that any other way. That is premium. We need you to go and sign up for the YouTube page to be a subscriber. As I've said, we are locked in a battle with the Michigan, Georgia, and Penn State sites to see who can get the most subscribers. If for no other reason, allow Ohio State to be atop another list when it is released, though it is behind closed doors here. Now, gentlemen, we discussed this last week. In fact, Bill, I called you last week and said, even after a show where we talked about a quarterback commitment was not imminent, I called you and said, I have a feeling Tavian St. Clair is going to pull the trigger here sooner rather than later. You agreed, and here we are. You were there yesterday, Bill. If you could label the scene or describe it, I can't think of a more dramatic camp scene, which, by the way, camps are not that dramatic. But for a team camp to come down to a 7-on-7 game at the end of the day between two Ohio quarterbacks, both of which you know, and then to have one of them commit makes for a long day for the dean, but a productive one. So, Bill, you were there for every step of the way yesterday. Kind of take us through the whole day, if you would. And Mark and I will get a sandwich.
Well, first of all, before you get your sandwich, Mark, Dan mentioned the breakdown that is on our site, Mark, and kudos to Mark. Gosh, months ago, he was starting to throw his chips in on Tavian, if you remember right on these podcasts, and Mark turned out to be exactly right. Tavian ends up the guy for Ohio State in this class. And so you wanted to look at that breakdown because Mark was on this way early. As far as yesterday, yeah, it was a wild day. Scripted in Hollywood, I think. The two Ohio quarterbacks get to the finals and duel it out. And I mean duel it out. That was a great show by both of them. I'm not 100% sure if Finley went undefeated all the way through. I think they did, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I know Bell Fountain was undefeated going into that championship game and started, that championship game started around 5:15, I think. And it was a great one. Belfountain and Finley, it was back and forth. Neither team was stopping the other team, really. Both quarterbacks were on target. And I will say that Tavian, to get his team in the semifinals, made some incredible throws, back shoulder throws for end zone touchdowns, and throws the guys in the end zone that were tightly covered for touchdowns. Just very impressive. Ryan Montgomery was extremely impressive all day long, but especially in the championship game. His team won by 1 point, and it was on a kind of a controversial play. There was a pass interference call against Belfountain that enabled a drive to continue for Finley, and ultimately they got the win basically because of that drive. And it was a little controversial. You don't really see a lot of people getting hot and bothered in a 7-on-7, but there were some upset people there and people being held back a little bit and stuff. It was just really pretty wild. And Belfountain, like I said, they lost by 1 point in the championship game to Finley. And I got to emphasize again, both quarterbacks were really good all day long. These two quarterbacks are great high school quarterbacks. And in the end, Finley came out on top. But I think both of these guys are going to have a great future at the next level. We know now Tavian's future is at Ohio State with the commitment. So then after the 7-on-7 championship was over, Belfountain went into the Woody Hayes facility. And all of the Belfountain players were sitting in the Woody Hayes facility. They were just kind of waiting. And I'm not sure they knew why they were waiting there, but they were all just sitting there waiting. And by the way, Marvin Harrison was working out on the jugs machine. They could at least watch that. And that was very impressive, I might add. But they could at least watch that. And then finally, we kind of found out why they were waiting. The Belfountain coach had Tavian officially tell his teammates all together in the Woody Hayes facility. Tavian announced to his teammates that he was an Ohio State commitment. And the commitment actually happened the day before. Tavian and committed to Ohio State coach Ryan Day and Corey Dennis when he showed up on Tuesday at the camp. Then afterwards, Tavian did a couple interviews, but there was kind of a decision then. Tavian had planned to announce his commitment to the world once he got back to Belfountain on Wednesday night, maybe around 6:30, 7 o'clock in that area. Then they decided, since a lot of people were starting to find out, maybe he should go ahead and put it on Twitter right now from the Woody Hayes facility, announce it then. But Tavian decided to stay with his plan. He said, nope, I want to wait till I get home and announce it. And he did. It was a little bit later because they got home later. The whole thing lasted longer. But he ended up announcing around 7:30 last night that he was a Buckeye.
Your thoughts, Bill? Are you surprised it happened this early? Obviously, Ohio State has to be ecstatic. And I think it's important to note that you said this was choosing between two diamond rings here. I was going to say it. For me, this is the Selma Hayek, Halle Berry choice here. You know what I mean? You can't go wrong. So just kind of describe the scene in terms of, do you think this is a relief to the coaches? Where do they go from here kind of thing?
Well, yeah, they're glad, very happy to have him in the fold. And he did originally want to wait it out and take his time a little bit more. But last Thursday, Tavian told his dad, I know where I want to go. I want to be a Buckeye. And his dad said, you know, are you 100% sure? And he said, yeah. But his dad really wanted him to sleep on it for a few days, pray about it a little bit, and just make 1,000% sure. And Tavian did. And as he, as Tavian said, he said, I was so anxious to do it. I couldn't wait till Monday or Tuesday to get here to finally do it. I knew in my heart so much that I wanted to be a Buckeye. And you know what? I also need to say a couple things about the families. Ryan Montgomery and his family are about as good as it gets. They are just tremendous people. And I was very impressed that Ryan tweeted out a big congratulations to Tavian last night afterwards. You're not going to get better people than the Montgomerys, just tremendous people. And Ryan's got a great future ahead of him. And then I was with a lot of the day yesterday. Tavian had a lot of extended family, family from Florida, grandparents there and other family, just tremendous people as well. So the Buckeyes and whoever gets Ryan Montgomery are getting great players, great young men, and great families.
And speaking of family, Ryan's brother is likely to be blocking for Tavian at some point in the relatively near future. Mark, we love letting you wet your whistle, letting you get a little break here before we cut you loose and pull the cord. What are they getting in Tavian Sinclair? Obviously, this was a decision between, obviously, I can say obviously a few more times. It came down to these two guys. We've talked about this. It's rare to get two elite corners from one state in one class. It's probably even more rare if you're not in Georgia, Florida, Texas, or California to get two quarterbacks like this. I can't remember a time when we've had two guys of this ilk in the same class. You're talking about Georgia and Alabama offer types. Do you agree with the decision? What are they getting? Kind of your sense of the whole deal being the Ohio recruiting guru that you are.
Yeah, it was Braxton Miller and Cardale Jones was the last time. And I think that was 2011-ish, maybe, nine, maybe, I don't know. It was back a ways, but you don't see it. And if there are 717 high schools in Ohio, 717 quarterbacks, odds are 350 are seniors, maybe. Only about 3 to 5 go Division I every year, FBS Division I. There's been years where we've had one or two. 3 or 5 would be a big year. This year is a pretty good year for quarterbacks, but to have two at the top of the food chain is extremely rare. When I say we have 3 to 5, that means there's 3 or 4 MAC quarterbacks and maybe a Big Ten quarterback. You know, it's not this much of a power heavy, you know, type of class. But this one, yeah, these guys are special. And in my breakdown, of course, Ryan burst onto the scene first. But if you were following the St. Clair, you know, locomotive, you know, there were signs, there were early offers, there was a growth spurt. Like when I did the breakdown, I went back to the week 9, and as I was watching the tape, he looks little on film. He does not look like the kid I saw at the camp last week. And I went back, and the height and weight I set on film was like 6'2", 180 or something, or, you know, and now he's 6'4", 210. And that's just in a 6-month time span, 7-month time span. So he really got in the weight room. And talking to his father, he brought up that, yeah, he was 187 pounds back in January, and basketball season hits. And if you know anything about basketball players, they don't add weight during the season. They're usually cutting it with all the running they're doing. So he really bulked up. And, you know, everything I do is like a stock report. You know, you can start buying stock early, and you can start watching the stock price rise. And, you know, yeah, we started doing that. Like Bill said, he gave me a little bit of credit there, but it wasn't hard to see last year that this kid was really good. And then at 6'4", 210, he's a damn man. I mean, he is a presence out there when he's standing with the quarterbacks. He's one of the bigger, thicker guys in the group. When he's standing around the coaches, he's bigger than the coaches. So he brings that presence. In the breakdown, what I like about him is he's got a real natural passing motion, but he can – give you a little sidearm or a little three-quarter spin, or he's got a very natural delivery where he can throw it a lot of different ways with accuracy and speed. Going back to what a great person he is, the Ryan Montgomery tweet made total sense to me. When I was at the Michigan camp, those two were on the sidelines hanging out for the first hour or so, just stretching, and they were kind of easing their way into the situation. They were getting the red carpet treatment, so to speak. They didn't have to do all the early testing. I mean, that stuff's beyond them now. But they were piling around, and you would sense, no, like, these guys are competing for a Michigan offer today. They're competing to go to the same place. And, you know, and a lot of quarterbacks are like that. You see it in the NFL. Quarterbacks, after the game, they run over, they hug the other quarterback, and they're out of there. You know, there's a certain brotherhood with those guys. So It didn't shock me at all to see that type of camaraderie between the guys. The other things you're getting with St. Clair is there's more meat on the bone, okay? And there's more upside there. There's more to come. He's just getting started, you know, with confidence and talking to people around him, you know, like, yeah, he, you know, like until you're really named the guy and given these offers, it changes the way you think of quarterback. You know, sometimes, and I made this analogy, if you're in a battle with another guy and you throw a couple of incompletions, you may have lost the job. But if someone names you the starter and says, hey, you're the guy, you throw a couple of incompletions, it doesn't faze you because you know you got more to make it up. So I think he's going to play freer, play with less pressure, and, you know, let it loose and let it fly. And, you know, like Bill alluded to, in these 7-on-7s, I don't think any of us would say that Finley and Bell Fountain have the best receivers in Ohio. There were probably much better receivers on other teams. But what makes this thing go in a 7-on-7 is a quarterback. And when you're throwing back shoulders, and like Bill was saying, some of the routes that he had to fit in there, he's willing his team to win. And that's a quality in a quarterback and an evaluation thing that you don't really see that often, where this kid not only can throw the ball, but he can make other players better. You know, there's quarterbacks in the NFL. You go play with Aaron Rodgers, all of a sudden Garrett Wilson's one of the best receivers in the league because he has someone that can get him the ball. You'll see Tom Brady make guys better. You know, there's certain places you go. If you go to with Lamar Jackson, uh-oh, receivers, you're hoping you get 45 catches this year, okay? And he's a great quarterback, but there's some guys, and maybe St. Clair has this, where when you're at a smaller school, you're going to make your receivers big time. And it's funny, there's receivers that played with Drew Aller, not to digress, that had 100 catches, and a year later, they had a great quarterback a year later, but all of a sudden, it wasn't as easy for them to, you know, to do those totals again. So quarterbacks have a lot to do with making receivers great, in my opinion, and he's a guy that'll do that. But a lot of stuff we could talk to, a bit, the excitement of him committing, and I'm glad Bill had pointed out that Ryan Montgomery, you know, was right there with him the whole time. I mean, this really was. When we saw both of them offered, I think it was 2 weeks ago, someone's going to commit soon. The levity or the gravity of this situation will hit home for one of these families, and this whole talk of we're going to wait this process out and go on visits, that'll evaporate. And it did. You know, the common sense kicked in, and there is no better place. Like you said, Dan, it's right to the Heisman podium or right to the Heisman ceremony, if not winning it. So good luck to these guys as they go forward.
The Ohio State quarterback has become one of those marquee spots, really in sports right now, which will make it, you know, both easier to recruit and expectations will be high. Another thing that stands out to me about Tavian, when you say meat on the bone, you can tell he's not what he's going to look like physically in a few years. He's still got braces. He's still got a baby face. Let's just say this. This dude will not be struggling for dates at any point in time going forward. He's a big, good-looking kid. I just think he almost, if you look at the way the game is moving, he's borderline the prototype for what you want because he has the strength to throw from the pocket. He can get outside and run a little bit. He's probably not run first, but then he's athletic enough and big enough to stand up to some pounding. You know what I mean? Because durability for a guy who moves around too much, your Robert Griffin types, you hold your breath every time they get hit. Whereas these guys who come in 225, 230 with a little bit bigger butt, you know what I'm saying, can take a hit and just a more – we talk about – I mean, Trent Dilfer talks about this all the time, and it's true. The most important ability is availability. So if you're injury-prone or anything like that, that's a bad scene. All right, now, there's some low-hanging fruit questions here I want to hit real quick.
Yeah, I'll go a little further. Like, everyone wants a comp, you know, a comparison. Who does he remind you of? You know, what are his characters? Not that they'll ever be those players, but – it was real easy. He's a C.J. Stroud clone. I mean, C.J. showed you that he can run, and so can St. Clair. They're both bigger. They're both stronger with the different arms. They're going to be very similar. I even threw out the Cardale Jones. And, you know, as you say, like a Patrick Mahomes, he kind of looks like Patrick Mahomes a little bit. But same type of thing, those weird arm angles that, you know, maybe not as – but I mean, I don't want to say as fast as Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes, I think, only ran a 4.7 at the combine, which isn't – a godly number to get to. And I'm not saying, you know, they're similar in speed, but there's some comps out there where this kid, meat on the bone, he could reach a pretty high place right now. And he only got to this size and weight in the last month or two. I mean, he's just getting here and feeling out this new body and all these new tools he has and new strength. And, I mean, wait till he gets to the Ohio State weight room. So, yeah, obviously meat on the bones, a nice way to say it. But there's upside for days.
Lest we forget, Patrick Mahomes' father was a tremendous pitcher in the major leagues. And even his knucklehead brother that everyone has seen stuff of. I have a friend who coached high school basketball in Texas and coached against him, and he was a really good high school basketball player. So the apple didn't fall so far from the tree there. All right, like I was saying, Bill, speaking of apple tree, low-hanging fruit, the common questions coming now are, will Ohio State take two quarterbacks in the class? Will Ryan Montgomery be that second quarterback? If not Ryan Montgomery, who? Could it be Bryce Underwood? And then where do you expect Ryan Montgomery to ultimately land if it's not Ohio State? Bill, let's take a quick break and come back and answer those questions at the 20-minute mark here. Pay some podcast bills.
CBS Sunday after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
And we're back. William, do you need me to refresh those questions or can you handle it?
I think I'm okay.
Rock and roll.
You know, as far as two quarterbacks in the class, that's, I don't want to say it could not happen, but I don't expect it to happen. They've gone with one high school quarterback in every class, in each class, and for Ryan Day, and I expect that to be the case here. Absolutely, could it not happen? Well, you know, we don't know what's going to happen on the high state roster. You know, maybe some guys leave unexpectedly. I don't know. You know, again, I don't expect that to happen, but you never know. So I guess, you know, there is a chance, a slight chance that if things happen on the roster unexpectedly, that they could need another quarterback by the time 2025 guys are ready to sign. So we'll see. But I really don't expect that to happen. I think they went with the Tristan Gebbia model and then of finding an experienced guy if they really need a guy like that. And I tend to think they would go that direction. But again, 2025 is a little ways off yet. So we'll see. As far as Ryan Montgomery, you know, I don't expect him to be at Ohio State now. Where he's going to end up, you know, he's got a lot of great options. You know, he's got offers from Michigan, Georgia, and South Carolina, and Penn State. And, you know, I know Mark has talked about Penn State with Ryan. So there's a lot of great options there for Ryan. What a duel. Two great quarterbacks. And Ryan will find a great home. And I'd slide my chips on him being a very good quarterback at the next level as well.
No doubt.
You know, in the nature of that quarterback position, I would assume there's an NIL attached to this. And I'm sure the quarterback position draws a nice NIL. And it's hard to do that twice if you're Ohio State. Give up that type of boatload to bring in two. Not that they had to do that, but my point would be is those other schools you mentioned are going to bring in one quarterback and he's going to get a bag full. You know, right. So that's a new competing factor. But if there is one quarterback like Braxton and Cardell where they would do two, it's when you have a brother on the team and you've had a relationship with the staff for a couple of years where if that kid came to them and said, hey, I want to be a part of your team. I don't mind competing. And it's, you know, I'd like to be with my brother. I'm sure they would accept it, but a lot of common sense says, yeah, there's too much money out there in this day and age for two quarterbacks in a class. And yeah, go take the premier position somewhere else.
Generally speaking, I agree. And then specifically with the Montgomerys, they're quite the worldly family when it comes to recruiting. Keep in mind, this kid has visited Washington. So I don't see them having to take a second spot here.
They're going to be a worldly family because on Saturdays, they're going to need to be now. Where I would have, if I was a dad, I would have been like,
Gotta get
the combo jersey. And what if the teams meet? And, you know, what if St. Clair and him meet and he's at Michigan or Penn State? I mean, these storylines will be, Bill and I will be like, remember the day they played at 7-on-7? You know, like the old timers. But this story's not done right in itself. And, you know, these teams, who knows where they'll be. But very interesting.
How about this for a transition? Speaking of Ohioans that we are steadfastly following, this weekend offers up visits from you-know-who, Bryce West, Aaron Scott, a cavalcade of stars, Damarian Witten. Bill, who is coming this weekend, and can our hearts take another commitment or defection from this crew?
Well, last weekend was a huge weekend talent-wise for Ohio State, and yeah, I still have and hearing good vibes from what happened last weekend at Ohio State, and I think there's probably going to be good vibes after this weekend too. They've got the three Ohioans coming in for official visits: the cornerbacks Aaron Scott, and then Bryce West from Cleveland Glenville, and then his teammate Damarian Witten, the tight end at Glenville. So those guys are coming in for their official visits. Miles Lockhart from Arizona, who has long loved Ohio State, I might add. You got Kingston, from the linebacker from California.
Kingston.
Yeah.
Not even going to take a shot at the last
I'm
name,
going
Bill.
To easy. Via Asama. But I just like to call him Kingston. Coming in, Justin Scott. You got one commitment coming in, Peyton Pierce. I believe Mylon Graham may be coming in too. I'll have to check on that. But, you know, I have early good vibes on this weekend too. Let me put it that way.
Any change or vibes or feelings on the cornerbacks?
Cornerbacks, you said?
Yeah, well, we've done plenty on quarters. We flipped the corners.
Okay. Well, I've got, and I've had them crystal balled for a long time. Three of those guys crystal balled to Ohio State. Aaron Scott, I crystal balled really early to Ohio State. I mean, really early. Bryce West, pretty darn early, too. And then Miles Lockhart, I crystal balled him to Ohio State very early, too. I don't feel any different right now on those picks. What I will say is, that Ohio State will take four cornerbacks in this class. And I said I'm hearing even, you know, more and more good vibes still from last weekend. I still hear, you know, good vibes on things. And Kobe Black, the cornerback from Texas, don't sleep on him being a Buckeye. He had a great visit last weekend. I'm not quite ready to put that crystal ball in yet, but don't sleep on that one.
Bill, Mika Hanna has a question. Chances with Justin Scott?
Oh, Mika, you're asking about a guy that's hard to get a great read on at this point. Let's wait and see how his official visit goes. I wouldn't pick Ohio State right now, but he hadn't made that official visit yet.
I got a question I want Mark to answer. The guy that has not been discussed as much as I believe is Tyrion Nichols out of the Cincinnati area. If I'm not mistaken, he got an offer from Alabama at camp. So you're talking about an elite prospect here. Is this a wait and see? Is this a, there's only two spots at the end? Mark, where do you compare Tyrion Nichols to the aforementioned duo, and then Bill, maybe you can put it all in context for us.
Yeah, you know, like I should be the guy rooting for the Ohio kids and putting my chips on all those guys, but the names you mentioned out of state, a cornerback, and we've broken those guys down, they're all on the level. You know, you could take any three of the five or six we're looking at, and Mark Porter's happy. If they all were from Ohio, Mark Porter would be even happier. Brian Nichols is the speedster of the group. Scott and West, they're a little bit bigger, a little more solid at corner, have like maybe a little more girth to them. But Brian's the 100-meter guy, the guy that when he turns and runs, there's no one who's probably going to run by him. Tabron Beanie Powell just committed to Notre Dame. I know one of the first offers for Nichols was Notre Dame and Michigan. So I know there'll be players in this thing, and I'm not following his recruitment as tightly. Alabama changes everything, but I'm not so sure Alabama would be, you know, the move for him. But yeah, if Scott or West doesn't show up there, why not take one of the fastest kids in Ohio who's blown up and has every offer? I mean, sometimes, just like Ryan Montgomery, just because we offer West and Scott first doesn't mean they're better than Nichols or other guys. You know, it's just the evaluations on those guys were done sooner. And I don't know, some kids are older, they mature later. There's all times coaches will tell me, Mark, he's a young junior. He's still whatever, you know, and in, you know, having kids and stuff, you start to appreciate that a little more, where that extra 6-8 months, we just saw what Tavian Sinclair just did. I mean, I literally had a film of him in November at 6'2", 6'3", 180, and he's 6'4", 210 plus. And he looks like a totally different. If he walked in the room and said it was the same kid a week ago, I wouldn't have believed you. So I know the fans dig in the kid and the name familiarity and the, you know, the IQ score, whatever that score is, that the name recognition goes higher with West and Scott. But these other guys are in the ballpark with them. You know, like 3 years from now, it might not be such a big difference. So I'm fine with all of them. I mean, they all pass the man-to-man test, the zone coverage test. It's just little finite differences. If you were doing Madden ratings, some of them have a 97 here and a 99 here and a 96 here is their ratings, and it goes, but they're all 99s, you know, at the end of the day. So, yeah, go with those guys. You'll be fine. And I've even said the kid from Mueller, Carson Hobbs, is great going to Notre Dame. You know, he would be acceptable to me if Ohio State was in on him.
Bill, finish the show off. Do you believe Ohio State will get all three, Nichols, Scott, and West?
Nichols, Scott, and West, probably not. You know, like I said, I still feel Scott and West. I still have them crystal ball to Ohio State. My gut feeling right now is that Nichols will probably go elsewhere, but you don't know. You never know what's going to happen. Again, Ohio State can take four corners if – they so choose to. Kobe Black, if he wants in, right, he's going to be in.
Yeah.
And again, don't sleep on that possibility.
We will not sleep on that. Do not sleep on these two. They have been hard at work for you guys on the trail, and that will continue, obviously, starting tomorrow and into the weekend. Bill will be there with bells on, and Mark is all over it as well. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, please do so. You could have already watched Mark's breakdown and been a more informed quarterback guru for this show. We hope everybody enjoyed the pod. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.